What up, peeps? Okay, oh my god. This I'm not gonna lie, this is a pretty cool app. DTV Presents podcast going on strong. Right now, normally, I'm not gonna lie, this person that I'm going to call, normally I prank, okay, usually, but now he knows my, you know, my wife's phone number, so I can't really prank him. Again, from what you've known, Brett Eidman, that's who I'm gonna give a ring on. He's, a comedian, an actor. The guy has been on SNL. He's been on the show Daredevil. He's been on a ton of shows. This guy has been in show business for the longest time. And I'm a lot of times during, like, because me and him do stand-up comedy together, we do a lot of shows. And at the end of the night, we usually hit up a diner. And me and him are just chilling out. And he tells me a whole bunch of stories, you know, about him hanging out with, like, certain celebrities and stuff. Now, these stories are dope, okay? And I'm going to even stamp that. I'm even going to throw a little bit because they're not even just dope. They're dope nasty. And on top of that, I'm actually going to do a triple. I'm going to say they're dirty, dope, nasty. He's got stories that, like, some of them I, like, tell my friends. Like, yo, I just hanged out with Brett and he told me this story. I want him to tell you, okay, because again, you're on your way to work, you're at home, you're relaxed and you're chilling, you want some entertainment. Boredom is a disease, you know, again, boredom is a straight up disease. DTV Presents podcast is the cure. And if this guy's got stuff that I think is entertaining, then you're going to think it's entertaining, and I just want y'all happy. That's what I want. So I'm going to give him a call. I'm going to ask him about these certain – I got, you know, five things. I always try to, like, limit it to five. I don't want it to be too long or whatnot. But there's five stories that I remember him telling me that I thought were just awesome, super entertaining. So I want you to hear them. I'm going to call Brett right now, and I'm going to, you know, set him up with the story, let him tell you about what happened, and, you know – let your ears be tickled, if you will. Here we go. We got Brett coming on the phone.
Hello.
Brett.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on? You know, I was just telling everybody with the DTV Presents podcast, you know, that boredom is the disease and the DTV Presents podcast is the cure. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, people have heard you, but it's from me pranking you. This is not a prank. Yeah. This is just me talking to you right now.
Right.
And, you know, show business. How long have you been in show business for?
Since about 16 years old.
I know. Insane. I mean, and I remember, like, I was telling, you know, setting up the, you know, the episode that me and you, we do a lot of comedy shows together. And a lot of times we hang out afterwards. We'll hit up a diner or whatnot. And, right. You know, we'll grab a delicious meal and we'll you know, talk the shit, if you will. But there's a lot of stories that you've told me, you know, on your, you know, path of, you know, going on with show business that I find just absolutely fascinating. Now, why just tell me when you could tell the world? So
okay.
There's five stories that I just remember, like they're just stuck in my head that I've told many people, but I want the world to know about it. So I just want to, you know, tell you the situation that you told me and have you talk about it in detail, you know?
If I can, sure.
No, I mean, you've told me. Why not tell the world?
Well, it may be a private thing. I have to see what the questions are.
Okay, fair.
I'm going to try to, you know, keep it clean and also keep it where, you know, I don't, like, disclose, you know, something that will really, really turn somebody off and they'll start, you know, trolling me like crazy on Facebook, you know?
All right. So what you tell me in the diner might be just kind of, like, privileged information and not something you want to tell the world, you know?
Possibly, because I don't know what you're going to ask me.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, here's one that I just remember being, like, amazing because I'm, like, a huge Pee Wee Herman fan. You know, for Christmas, Pee Wee Herman's Christmas is on Netflix, and my son, Evan, is obsessed with Pee Wee. He loves it. Now, I'm, like, when I watch it, I'm, like, oh, my God, I remember when Brett was telling me that, like, there was a time that, you know, I remember what you said was what you did, like, before or after, but you said you – I just remember you telling me, you're, like, oh, my God, me and Pee Wee went ice skating down at, like, Rockefeller Center. And you had, like, an altercation, and you guys were cool before, you know, you guys obviously bought ice skates together. And during, while you guys were skating, there was an altercation, and you haven't talked to him since. Can you maybe elaborate into the story that I remember, but I don't want to you know, say it if I'm going to get in trouble by you, because you're my boy.
No, that's okay.
What happened between you and Pee-wee while you were ice skating?
Okay, well, are we going to call him Pee-wee or are we going to call him Paul?
Let's go. I mean, for me, he's always going to be Pee-wee.
Yeah, and for him too, I think. But
fair enough.
No, it was just like, look, we were doing a little promo spot for something that a pilot that he was working on. And after we got done shooting it, and it wasn't funny. I mean, it just was like, it was terrible. I mean, and I was like kind of bumming out because I thought like, hey, this is going to be a big break for me. And, but, you know, it was just not going the way that I wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, the people on the crew, you know, Pee-wee and me and about a half a dozen guys, we went to Rockefeller Center and we said, let's go, like, you know, let's go skating.
That's so cool.
And I said to him, like, you know, I don't know how to skate. And he says, oh, come on, we'll teach you and this and that. And meanwhile, I've played hockey my whole life and I know how to skate.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, so I get out, like, we go get some skates. And I hate renting skates because I have my own skates. But I had to rent some lousy pair of skates that, you know, 20 other people wore that day. And we started skating around and we were talking about, you know, career and show business stuff. And I said to him, like, what is your favorite movie? And I think he said like Gone with the Wind or something like that, or some really old old movie. And really? I said to him, I said I thought you liked porno. and he looked at me like, you know, like, what are you talking about?
He couldn't take
the
joke.
You know what I'm talking about? You know. I said you like to stand around and, you know, do yourself and then with the other guys and, you know, like a circle jerk. And, I mean, everybody knows that, Pee-wee. You know, like it's not like a secret. And I said, I'm just joking with you anyway. And, he did not find it funny. He started like swinging at me and
swinging, you said?
He took a stab at me. So I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And all of a sudden, like, he's like, you know, going after me, and I'm like, I'm pulling myself, and I'm trying, like, I said, if I punch this guy, I'm going to get in, like, big trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I had to do something where, you know, and luckily I know how to skate and everything a lot better than he does, and I was able to, like, you know, like, elbow him down to the ice, and then the skate guard came over, and he started yelling at us, like, he had no idea who Pee-wee was, he didn't know me, he didn't know nobody, he thought we were just, like, the two idiots, you know?
Jesus.
And, yeah, so, and, you know, of course, the, you know, Rockefeller Center security all came over, and some people recognized it as Pee Wee Herman, like, you know, on the ice, just sprawled out, and like practically in tears, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, so that thing we did together, it never happened, you know, and we don't talk anymore, and it was just because I set him off with that. I thought your favorite movie was porno. You know, he didn't find that funny at all.
Wow. I mean, can I play the time machine game with you?
Sure.
Would you take back that statement, or, you know, how his attitude was, you know what, I'd probably say it again if I had the chance.
It was inappropriate. I shouldn't have said it.
So you feel you were in the wrong with that? It's a solid joke.
Yeah,
I probably would throw it myself.
But he should also say, like, you know, like, he should have, like, came back at me with something that, you know, you go to those places, but if you did that, nobody know who you are. You know, like, you know, like, he could have gotten to me, you know, a lot better than I got at him. I mean, mine was just a cheap shot. He could have just said, like, you know, hey, at least I had a career room.
Did you know you were in the wrong, like, when you said that? And did he give you, like, a look before he swung at you?
I kind of did. I just didn't give a shit. I thought the day was a disaster. So I had, like, you know, I was like, this is a big waste of time. And we weren't even getting paid all that much. And it was just really stupid stuff.
Wow. Were you a fan of the show? If I could just...
Yeah. I think the show's great. Yeah, I love it.
With Lawrence Fishburne as Cowboy Curtis? You were feeling it?
Yeah, I felt it. Phil Hartman was great.
Phil Hartman...
Yeah.
Trivia? Do you know his name?
Phil Hartman, I think.
No, I mean in the show.
Oh, I'll
give you bonus points.
Oh, jeez, I know he's like a I don't know, it's like an Officer Dan kind of thing or post office guy. I forget.
No, that was Captain Carl. Come on now.
Oh, Captain Carl.
He was a sail. He rode boats.
Oh, sailor. Okay.
He was a sailor.
I haven't watched those in a long time.
Would you want to be Pee-wee if they brought that back? Would you be Pee-wee Eidman?
Sure.
Nice. Yeah, All right.
I would do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, again, a fantastic. I love for the fact when I tell people whenever like Pee-wee pops up because he's like got the new movie on Netflix, and I'm like, dude, the guy who I roll with and do comedy with, Pee-wee swung on him, you know, and everyone always wants to know the story. And, you know, I tell him, I think that's fantastic. Is he skilled? Is he a skilled performer? Or is he like, all you got is Pee-wee, bitch?
I think he's pretty good, but he really is Pee-wee. I mean, like
that's all you got.
I think, yeah, but that's a lot.
That is a lot. I mean, you're iconic.
That is a lot. I mean, yeah, that is like you know, he found something that he found the ace in the hole. I mean, that's you know, that's it. That's you know, comedy gold. I mean, and you know, and that started out on stage. You know, and
then the Groundlings, right?
Right, the Groundlings. Yep.
Yeah.
And so. And Phil Hartman did, you know, like a lot of the writing with him and stuff. And no, I think it's comedy gold. And I think that it was a brilliant idea, and it became, you know, it had a huge cult following, you know, and it was like adults were going to see this guy Pee Wee Herman do a children's show on stage. But meanwhile, it's like 10, 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, so there was no kids there. And, and it was just so much fun. It's a great idea. And he was brilliant, you know, can't knock a guy like that.
That is true. Okay, another question that, you know, I love because when you mentioned it, the movie you said you tried out for, you did auditions for, was the movie Broken Arrow, which was my favorite movie for about 4 years. John Travolta and Christian Slater were the stars of it. You were supposed to, at least what you told me at the diner was that you tried out to be the character that was played by Howie Long. You were supposed to be like John Travolta's henchman in the movie Broken Arrow. But during auditions, when you did lines with John Travolta, you made fun of his chin, and there was a big altercation while being casted. When you mentioned his chin, you said John Travolta yelled at you. Can you go into, I don't want to burn bridges, but you two got into it in the room, apparently.
Yeah, he was like, he had like an attitude, you know,
that movie was awesome, if I could just say. It was my favorite movie for four years.
I didn't even see it.
You were going for the role. You didn't even because you were pissed.
The role, I just didn't care anymore. I was like, forget this.
You said, fuck the movie, Adam. I'm not in it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna like torture myself.
Fair enough. Okay, so, continue.
But he was like, I go in there, and meanwhile, you know, all these guys before me, I had to wait and finally get in there, and I start running lines, and I'm running lines with him, and he says to me, like, he can say, hey, Brett. And I said, yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out. Like, I started doing that Vinny Barbarino thing. He didn't, like, get it. Like, he was looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm looking at him like, well, geez, this guy is like, he's clueless. And
were you in awe when you met Travolta? Because that's my favorite actor of all time. So I would be blown away. Like, I would probably stutter, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Are you cool with that? You don't care?
I do care. I was kind of in awe of him, but I wanted to like to just calm everything down, like bring it down to a real level in a sense. Like let's get relaxed here. Let's get comfortable with each other.
How do you get relaxed? Like when you know you're up next, you know, in the audition, and it's like you know you're next. Like Brett, you're next. How do you calm yourself down before you go into a room and read lines with John Travolta?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, I was nervous going in, but then when you're standing there and you're there too, and then all of a sudden you're interacting, you're like, okay, now you start to look at him like he's just another person. Like it's just, it kind of wears off after a while.
Wow.
But yeah, like, you know, anticipation, like going into the audition, I was like freaking out. And then when I got there, I was freaking out. But when I got in there, I was freaking out for like 30, 40 seconds. And then after that, it's just another guy standing there reading lines with you.
Gotcha.
You know, and, so I tried to lighten it up a little bit and, you know, made a couple like, you know, remarks. And, he was like, don't do that.
He said, don't do that when you crack the joke?
That. Yeah, don't do that.
What did you do?
So, I said, I'm just trying to calm things down. I want to do the right thing here. Wow. And he's like, well, just read the lines. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy's like unbelievable. You know, like,
my God.
Just read the lines.
I love him, but lines. You're making him sound like an asshole.
No. You know, look. You know, just read the lines. You know, like just, and
just like, you know. Just read the lines.
It was like, read the lines. You know, Sandy. You know, like,
was because I know. I mean, it was John Travolta and Christian Slater. Was Christian Slater there or no?
No.
Okay. All right. Because that would be badass.
He wasn't there, and I ran into him because I got a call back for this audition, which I was surprised
shit.
After.
There you go.
And he was like walking out, and I said something to him that really ticked him off because like my friend knows him from a program that they go to, you know, meetings, and and it's people are not supposed to know you go to those meetings.
Oh.
And I mentioned it to him. I said, "Hey, my friend says hello," and I said, you know, and he's like, "Well, how do I know?" And I told him. He's like, you know, that's not fucking right. And he kind of walked away. he didn't appreciate that. So, so I went back into the audition again, and I felt like the first time it was like horrible, and you know, because like you know he wasn't you know Travolta wasn't finding anything entertaining, and like they call me back. So then I figured I got to go back and I got to do the same thing because they like what I did the first time.
Yeah, definitely.
So I go back in there and I'm like I was like trying to, I was like making fun of him, you know, like, you know, and I told him, I said, oh yeah. And I remember like the critics, I said years, you know, when we stopped for a second after doing the lines, and he said, right, let's take a couple seconds here and just go over it. And I said, you know, I remember when the critics said about you where like they said that, John Travolta, when, he did Saturday Night Fever, you know, he proved he couldn't dance. And then when he did Grease, he proved he couldn't sing. And then when he did Moment by Moment with Lily Tomlin, it proved he couldn't act. which I thought was pretty funny. You know, and he remembered that. You know what I mean?
He didn't find it funny. Wasn't,
No. Yeah. It was just, you know, he was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what you say. You know, and, you know, I liked the guy, but I just thought, you know, like, you know, calm down.
Calm down.
You know, relax.
I mean,
let's just do this together, and we'll do it good. Let's all relax, and let's see what the characters are doing. And when people talk and stuff, let them talk and let them do their thing. Like, you know, don't take everything like so personally. Like, it's okay for somebody to take a jab at me, but I can't take a jab at them.
Yeah, no, that is true. Can I be real with you for a minute?
Like nice sneakers. You know, like oh, yeah, great. You know, nice hairdo. You know, like what do you know? So, yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not the best thing to be a smart ass at an audition.
Fair
I don't
enough.
Recommend it.
All right.
You know.
I mean, can I be real? This is like a personal question between me. Because, all right, I'm going to put myself in your shoes. Now, again, John Travolta is my favorite actor of all time. And Broken Arrow, again, like, it wouldn't be my favorite film at that point because I never saw it. But, like, if I went there and I was in your shoes and I'm auditioning and I'm reading lines with Travolta, you know, I'm looking to be his, like, number one henchman. If after the... You know, the lines. If can I ask him for an autograph, or is that – I've heard people say if I ask him for an autograph, I'm guaranteed not getting the role because now I'm not putting myself as the actor. I'm a fan and basically like a bitch.
Right. You're absolutely right.
I can't ask him?
You can't ask for an autograph.
Why not?
Because you're not there. You're not there as a fan. You're there as an actor.
Can I be a double? Why can't I be a fan and an actor?
You can – But you gotta ask for an autograph like after the fact. Like it's gotta be, you know, not at the audition, but if you get the part, you get the role, you know, and then when there's like a cast party or a rap party or whatever, you could say, it was so great meeting you and working with you, you know, can I have an autograph and you know, it'll be, and then he'll probably be pretty cool with it. But you ask him again at an audition, you know, they say, get the hell out of here, you know, then,
is that fucked up? Why can't I?
It's distracting.
It's America.
It's distracting. You know, that's the problem. I mean,
I want one.
I know. Hey, let me tell you something. I went down when I was in I was dating this girl, and we went down to Atlantic City. I went to take her to see Tony Orlando. Remember him?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, you know, Tyrell Ribbon and And
the song is called Tie Yellow Ribbon.
Yeah, Tie Yellow, not three times. Tie Yellow Ribbon. Yeah, this is like, you know, old, you know, 70s stuff. But anyway, the guy hasn't had a hit in a million years. You
the
know?
Song is called Tie Yellow Ribbon.
Tie a yellow ribbon, like tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Mm. Does it go like a tie a ribbon on a yellow altar?
It's kind of like that.
Close, okay.
It's kind of like I'm coming home. I've done my time.
I'm coming home, and my mama and my dad's there, and I.
No, not that.
Not that. Okay, continue.
Not that one.
Not that.
Anyway, I go down there, and we go down for the show. I didn't want to go see him. She wanted it, so I said, "Let's go down."
Just trying to get laid.
Yeah, I'll do whatever she says. So I go down there, we watch the show, and all night long he's talking about love and peace and like, you know, he wants people in the audience to hold their hands and, you know, and then, you know, peace be with you and all this stuff. Like during his show, it's all about peace and love and everything else. And so the show's over, everybody leaves, and my girlfriend says, you know, it'd be great to get an autograph. I said, no problem, we'll get it. And so I go up to the front. Everybody's already gone already. They went back to their rooms or whatever. And I see Tony Orlando like sitting there on the stage. And he's with like one other guy, and there's nobody around. And I said, hey, Tony, can I please have an autograph for my girlfriend? And then the guy jumps out. He goes, Tony doesn't sign autographs.
Jeez.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding. And he says, no, I'm not kidding. I said, there's nobody else here but us. And he says, no, he's not signing it. I said, well, he should be happy. You know, I just paid like $40 a ticket to see this guy. He hasn't had a hit since the early 70s. And like, you should be thankful that I'm coming down here.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, you should be thankful that anybody wants to see you at all. You know, like, they didn't like that either. So that's not a way to get an autograph by, you know, yelling at a security. But I wanted to get it for her. Never got it.
Never got it.
And then I put something up on YouTube under one of his videos, and I said, yeah, well, he sings about this. Everybody's talking about how nice of a guy he is, and I wrote, he wasn't nice to me, and all of a sudden the president of his fan club is sending me nasty messages.
Jesus Christ.
So it's like I didn't know they were all going to read what I wrote on YouTube. And the president of the fan club started yelling at me and stuff, and Tony would never do that. I said, he did it. I was there. You know, tell me, he signs autographs for everybody. He didn't for me.
But for everybody else. I mean, there's rules to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And like, are do you find them like, I won't follow these rules because they're bullshit? Or, you know, or you like, now you get it, you know?
Well,
like, I mean, is there, and do you think if you got to the level where Brett Eidman is now like the Clint Eastwood, the Robert De Niro, and if there's ever a time that you're walking to your car or out to eat with your wife and someone walks to your table and in the middle of your meal while you have spaghetti hanging out of your mouth and they're just like, can I get a picture? Can I get an autograph? Are you one that's going to be like, I'm in the middle of my fucking meal? Can you get the fuck away from me? Or you're just like slurping up the spaghetti string and you're like, let's take a picture. What do you want me to sign? That napkin? You got it, buddy. Thank you so much for being a fan. Where are you at?
Well, I think that it really depends on the situation in a sense of who you're with.
Your wife.
And okay, so it's just me and my wife.
You and your wife, you're out for a nice spaghetti dinner.
Right. We're out for a spaghetti dinner. We're sitting there and then all of a sudden somebody comes over and wants to take a selfie and all this other. And it's just like one guy or it's a whole bunch of people?
One guy and his wife. You know, do you mind if I take a picture and can you sign this napkin for and make it out to Martin?
Yeah, I would do that and I would do it. And if I didn't want to do it, I would say to the guy, I said, can you wait till I finish dinner? You know, like, you know, be nice about it. But don't like, you know, some people just like blow a gasket, you know. And, you know, when somebody goes up to him and asks him for an autograph, they blow a gasket. You know, I saw Jason Alexander at a Broadway show once, and this girl in front of me, she goes, oh man, look, Jason Alexander's there. Jason Alexander. And I said to her, you know what you should do? I said, during the intermission, go up and ask for his autograph. You know, he seems like a good guy. And she says, really? I said, of course. I mean, nobody's bothering him. He's just there, and it's in between, you know, it's going to be intermission. The show's not on. You're not disturbing him from the show. You know, go over, do it. He'll probably be very happy that somebody recognized him. And so she walks over there for an intermission, and he says, I'm not signing autographs.
What the fuck? Yeah, that's fucked up.
So, so she went back to her seat, and I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know he was going to be that way.
I didn't know he was going to be that way.
Yeah.
Can you, but can you, like, you can see their POV? Or do you deem them like, what a fucking asshole? Like, dude, sign the piece of, it's a fan, you know? The only right. reason why you're popular is because of that person.
Okay, here's another situation, and this is, and you tell me, because some people don't know how obnoxious people really are, you know, and that's even fans, you know. Jim Carrey is walking out of a movie theater one time, and somebody recognized him and said, "Hey, you Jim Carrey?" And he says, "Yes." He said, "Do you mind if I have an autograph?" And Jim Carrey says, "Sure." He signs an autograph. Then another guy comes out, he signs an autograph, and then like all of a sudden, there's people coming out of the woodwork. Because there's a major star just came, walked out of the movies. He was at the movies by himself. And he started signing autographs. He was there for, I don't know, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, signing autographs. And then he like looked at his watch and then he had to go. And so he says, okay, you know, thank you, everybody. He says, I got to get someplace. So he's walking away and some other guy wanted his autograph. He's going, you're an asshole. You know, and but meanwhile, he was just like, he's there. He was there, there like 2 or 3 hours. And the one guy that didn't get an autograph is yelling, you're an asshole. You know, fuck you, Jim Carrey.
Fuck you, Jim Carrey.
You know, like, so that's, you know, people suck sometimes. I mean, cut these people some slack, you know. And, you know, fans, just be decent about it. And if somebody's out to dinner, maybe after they get done eating dinner and you know, go over to them and say, you know, I didn't want to disturb you while you're having your dinner, but can I have an autograph now?
Doesn't that come with the territory, though?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if you go out for dinner, expect it, you know. You're not, yeah. I mean, you're when you're that famous, when you're banking, like, you know, 500 or like 5 million per movie, that if you go out to eat, you're going to have people that are going to interrupt you. Like, doesn't that come with the territory for them to be like, go fuck yourself, I'm eating right now?
Well, some of them are like, I mean, like, you can take that way where you can just be pleasant about it. I think that,
you'd be pleasant, you know, though.
Be pleasant, yeah. There's no reason to say, get the fuck out of here. You know, there's no reason to get nasty with somebody because they like you.
I know, you know? Right?
And it's not cool. I mean, and if you don't want to sign an autograph, then be nice about it.
So if you're eating a kielbasa and you got right. half the kielbasa down your throat and someone walks over and says, sign this, you're going to sign it. Or are you going to, like, you know, upchuck the kielbasa and then talk to them?
Well, I'd probably take it out of my mouth and bang it over the guy's head. But I it's just, you know, there's a time and place for everything. I mean, a friend of mine was at a Yankee game. And he sees Bruce Springsteen there.
Oh, shit.
So he goes, walks over to Springsteen and says, you know, Mr. Springsteen, I'm a huge fan. Da, da, da. You know, do you mind if I have an autograph? So Bruce says to him, he goes, well, he says, if I take out my pen right now and I start signing something, he says, I'm not going to be able to enjoy the game. You know, it's like before the game even started. Like, you know, it was like right in the beginning.
He's an asshole.
Excuse me?
So he's an asshole.
Who, Springsteen?
Sounds like an asshole.
No, there should be no reason.
Sign your name.
No. So he said that he's not an asshole. He said to my friend that, look, if I sign this, then it's going to cause a scene and people, you know, as soon as somebody takes out a pen to sign something, everybody goes, who's that?
Fair enough.
You know, and so he said to him, I really appreciate you coming down, you know, to ask for my autograph and everything else, but I just want to enjoy the game tonight. You know, I hope you don't mind. Like, he was very, very decent about it.
I don't know. That's an asshole.
And my friend was like, he was cool with that. He says, I think I got something better than an autograph. I got to have a little conversation with the guy. So, you know.
Would whatever. You want the autograph or that little mini conversation of, I don't want to sign it, I want to watch the game?
I'm not into autographs.
You don't like autographs?
No.
You want selfies?
No, I can even do without that. I don't mind taking pictures, but I mean with celebrities, like I mean, I did a thing with Bruce Willis. I mean, you know, and I didn't ask him for a picture. You know, I didn't ask him for an autograph. I didn't ask him for a picture.
Well, you had video. You had video. You were in the segment with him.
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't need that.
Yeah. Right. I don't need that, but it would be like kind of cool to. You know, have a picture with, hey, here's my buddy Bruce Willis. But,
if Clint Eastwood's standing in front of you in line of ShopRite, you're going to ask him for something.
Maybe.
You're just going to say I'm a big fan and then, you know, scan your gorgonzola cheese?
I would just say to him, like, you know, hey, I'm a big fan, Mr. Eastwood.
That's it?
Yeah, and he'll look at me like, you know, who the hell are you?
I'm calling bluff. I think you're lying to me.
There's no way
you're going to just let him walk.
Yeah.
You're going to let him walk.
I'm going to let him walk.
It's Clint Eastwood.
I'm going to let him walk.
You don't want to take a picture?
No. Not that I don't want to. I want to, but I'm going to hold off.
If he was like, do you want a picture?
Oh, if he said that, I would say, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. But you're not going to ask him for it?
No, I stopped doing that.
Yeah. If he was like, you want a picture, you piece of shit?
That I would love. I wish I had something for him to sign. He said, dear piece of shit, Clint Eastwood. thanks for invading my privacy.
Oh, my Lord. All right. So let's get back on the track of your amazing stories. You talked about your John Travolta. This one I found the most interesting. This is when you said you were trying to get into that Martin Scorsese film. And, you know, you weren't even – you told me you're like – when I – because I was trying to get all up in the acting scene. And you're like, oh, man, I remember the time where I was trying to get in the Martin Scorsese film. And you were talking to this one guy. And then they tried to get you on the casting couch. And then one guy said, would you get fucked in the ass? Now – I just remember, I mean, I don't even want to ruin it. And if you're going to tell it, I don't want to ruin it. But the guy was like, if you let me fucking you in the ass and you were going to let, you know, he said he was going to get you in touch with Martin Scorsese. Can you just talk about that situation? You're sitting on the couch and the guy said he wants to fuck you in your ass. Can you talk about that?
I turned the guy down. And
I would hope so.
In hindsight, a really, really bad move.
Really?
It was a bad move. I should have let him do it.
There's no way. You can't be serious.
I should have let him do it. Let me tell you something. I would bungee jump onto that guy's cock if I can get into
He was serious though. You said he was serious. Like he was hard.
He was serious. But I just like, you know, that would have been a huge, huge break for me, and it would have saved me a lot of aggravation and grief moving forward because I would have, you know, put myself on the map.
You said he was hard, though.
Well,
when he talked to you about it, he showed you. That's what you told me at the diner.
Right. Yeah. Well, he did.
How weird was that, though?
It was really, really uncomfortable. It was strange. I mean, this is way before Louis C.K., you know?
I know. And he said, what I want to do with you, and then I will talk to Martin. And then you were like... I'm out.
I just really found it, the whole thing to be so weird. Like, what is this guy doing working with all these hotshots? And why is he in casting? And I was like, I never expected something like that. And the guy's like dropping his drawers. And he's like, it was really, really bizarre. And I didn't know what the hell to do. What the fuck?
Did you see it? Did he pull it out?
Yeah,
or was?
Yes, sure.
Oh, he pulled it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. His pants were down to, like, his knees. Like, he was just, I thought he was, like, going to the bathroom. I thought he was, like, a special needs person. And then I thought that he, you know, I was like, oh, well, this guy's got issues. And I just kind of looked at him like, what the fuck? Like, and I felt like getting on the bedpan or something.
All right, if we could just get real, I want to get real, yeah. You know, I'm going to get real right now. Like,
so I didn't get the part. I said, you know, thanks, I'll come back later. You know, and I didn't have, you know, I couldn't go back later. That was my slot.
That was your chance. Now,
that was really weird, and I don't even know where that guy is now or whatever.
Like, cheating-wise with the wife.
A big mistake on my part.
Because you didn't get the Martin Scorsese film. But, I mean, like, right. Cheating-wise with your wife, if you got home and you told your wife, like, I just want to tell you something, like, I slept with somebody else, kind of. I didn't really sleep with them. I didn't fall asleep at all. Would she divorce you, or would she, like, because she, you know, your wife knows this is the business that you're in. If you told her, like, I took it all in the bung, would she, you think your wife would divorce you, or would she understand that is the name of the game? That is the business.
Right. What if I told her about this guy?
Yeah, that he went in and he, you know, he filled you up.
And she would probably be disappointed in me that I didn't go for it because I've worked so freaking hard at this business.
No, but if you went in, if he filled you up, is that cheating? Is that like, that's game? Are you divorced?
What, or, that I enjoyed it?
No, if you just took it for the part.
If I took it for the team?
I guess. Well, I mean, because you would be getting a good amount of loot because you are in the next Scorsese film.
Right. I think she would have been okay with it. You know,
wow.
I think she would have been fine with it. You know, as long
that's
as
not like, cheating, you know, technically.
Well, it is, but it's cheating with a purpose. You know, it's
cheating like, with a purpose.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you have to practice safe sex. I mean, I have to make sure. I mean, this guy didn't have a condom on, but I would have said like, "Where's your condom?" You know,
if
like,
the casting director didn't have a condom, you're not in.
I don't know if he did or didn't. I mean, he was kind of just hanging there, and I just like you know. I didn't know if he had it. I said, hey, by the way, before you do that, you got to put something on. You know, you got to put a raincoat on.
But if he had one on, then that's fine, kind of.
Well, the fact of the matter is that you have to weigh these things. Like what's more important to you? You know,
your role or your asshole.
Or your ass hurting you for the next week.
That's true.
I mean, like, what is you know...
The power of a role, man. That's what it is.
It's right, and it's also like it's your golden ticket.
Wow.
And some of these women, I mean, I know you know the Me Too stuff, you know, all this terrible abuse that's going on out there. But some of these women, like their careers are just amazing. Like that's like the biggest actresses in Hollywood. They're like, well, you know, Harvey was such a horrible guy, and da da da. But like, look where you are.
That's true.
I think he is a horrible guy, but look what kind of career you have. So there's a give and take, you know. That's, you know, that's the way, you know, I think these guys are all horrible that take take advantage of women or be, you know, horrible to women. I think it's wrong. But on the other side, you know, you're worth $50 million.
That's true.
You know, so
now, I mean, like, I do see you as a mentor. I've always said that. Like, when everyone was like, how'd you get into the business? I'm like, dude, I sat down with Brett Eidman. That you are, like, whatever you've told me, like, I take it to heart. You're my go-to guy. You're the hitman. You're Brett Eidman is my, you know, the mentor. That's how I've labeled you through everybody. Now, if I called you and I said, there is a chance I'm going to get into this Quentin Tarantino film, and the casting director told me if I bend over, I'm getting the role as like the third guy that's, you know, one of the main characters. I'm the third guy, whatever that means. I'm Sean in the movie. Right. And if I called you as the guy is standing there stroking himself and I say, what do I do? Do I just walk out and say, fuck this role? Or do I unbutton my pants and take it home?
Yeah, I would first of all, I would try to get something in writing.
If he said, "Well, no, we're gonna give you, you know, 45,000, and you are gonna be in the part," you sign it, and then I'm ramming it home.
Yeah.
What do I do? I don't know what to do, Brett.
I would take it.
I'm taking it up my ass.
I would take the look at the $45,000. I mean, like you know, you're. That would help you out enormously. I mean, that would take the pressure off. I mean, you don't have to worry about your rent or mortgage, whatever. That gives you. It's almost like an undercover boss. You know, like the guy say, "Hey, here's $45,000 because I'm a horrible boss and I rammed it up your ass." You know, like that's
even if the dude's packing 9 inches.
I'm sorry.
He's packing 9 inches.
Whatever. I mean,
wow. You know, doesn't even matter. The girth, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the ass, you
just
know,
take it, lube it up, throw it in.
You know, it's flexible.
You would say and, it's the business. Like, that's kind of your...
You have to make a decision as an adult, you know, and you just say, well, what is really important to me? Do I... Is this a horrible thing this guy's going to do? Yeah, but you know, in 10 minutes it's going to be over, and I'm going to have money for my family for the next, you know... X amount of whatever, or I finally have a freaking career.
And possibly other roles, you know, if I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said that if I could sleep my way to the top, I would have made it a long time ago.
Shit, all right.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Which brings me to, you know, I have two more questions for you. You were originally casted for Beverly Hills 90210 as Luke Perry's role. What the fuck happened? How did you lose that to Luke?
Well, I didn't have a powerhouse agent, you know, helping me with that.
Oh. And, because you and Shannon Doherty were supposed to get it on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would have been really.
And that was set from what you told me. You said you were set for life when you thought you had that role, and then shit happened, and then you lost it to Luke Perry.
Right. They auditioned me like 6-7 times, you know, and they flew me out there. They wined and dined me and this and that, and they put me up in a huge, I mean, this beautiful hotel.
Wow.
And they said, you know, you're our guy, and you're this, you're that, and you know. I didn't know that I was going to be, you know, Luke Perry that's going to come. Like I didn't know anybody's name who was going to, like, be my competitor. I had no idea who they've already said no to.
That's true.
And so I didn't know at the time. And so I'm getting ready. Like, I'm packing my bags. I already made arrangements to get a condo out there. And, I fly out there, you know, to show up for you know, the first reading.
Yeah.
You know, and they said, "Who are you?" I'm like, what do you mean, who am I?
And
I,
you were, I, but you were supposed to play a high school student, and you were 39, though.
Well, that's you know, it's almost.
But
like
that's like the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah. So they said they were going to fix me up, and they're gonna make me look younger. And I said, "All right, good." You know, the magic of makeup and stuff, and they would, like, you know, get a wig for me and stuff, and then. They were gonna, you know, do their best. I mean, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, but you know, Hollywood does a lot of crazy shit.
A role is a role. If you're like, I'm 39 and I'm playing, you know, 16, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I would have probably been one of those guys that, you know, I didn't know much about what they were trying to do, and whether my character was going to be somebody who's kind of like faking the idea that he's younger in the show. Like, I thought maybe, like, you know, he's trying to get away with something. Everybody's like, hey, that guy's a lot older than 17, 18, whatever the hell.
Damn near 40. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I was like, I thought it was kind of crazy, but I didn't care. They're going to pay me big bucks.
Yeah, sure. A role's a role. Take it.
A role is a role. And that went on to be a, you know, a huge thing. And yeah, that was a really hard one to take, man. That was really... you know, it's just when you thought you had it, and then boom, you know, you're out. And then, you know, then afterwards I knew that, like, well, that kind of made sense because I'm not even near that age. I mean, I don't even know why. Like, I guess they had a different idea. Like, yeah, it was, like, really, really ridiculous. Like, why was I even considered?
Yeah,
I mean, Hollywood was all fucked up. They just, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, Luke Perry gets the role. It's a totally different role than what I was supposed to get.
I know. When you told me about it, I thought you were lying, but then I did look into it on, like, Wikipedia and stuff, and no, it is legit.
Yeah. So that was a real shock to me. It was a shock. First of all, I don't even know why my agent, like, submitted me for that, because I'm not even the right age. Then they called, and I'm like, really? What do you want me to do? Play the custodian?
So I'm playing the heartthrob who just got into high school.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm like, Jesus, like, really? And she says, yeah. She says, they think that they could make you look a lot younger. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. And she says, yeah, I was, just do it. I said, I'm going.
I'm doing it. Well, this is my favorite story. This will be you know, the last one. But, God, I love this one. This was my favorite one. Like, I remember, like, chocolate milk came out of my nose while we were at the diner. You said, oh, my God, during one of your auditions that – you had a big altercation with Woody Harrelson over a parking space that apparently you took Woody's parking space. And when you got out of the car, Woody got out of his car. He kicked you in the nuts, slapped you in the jaw, and pushed your head into the window. Now, can you just talk about what the hell happened? I just love how he kicked you in the nuts and did all that. And Woody Harrelson, from what I know, he's a nice guy in Hollywood. At least that's what I heard.
Well, I didn't experience that. I mean, like, you know, when I was pulling into a spot, and first of all, his name wasn't on the spot. Like it was just an empty spot. It was an empty spot. So I pull in, and then all of a sudden, I hear this guy, what the fuck are you doing, asshole? And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, it's Woody. Like,
yeah, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's Woody Harrelson. I said, oh, I'm sorry, is this your spot? He says, damn right it is. And I'm like, yeah. I said, well, I didn't know. I said, I didn't know. He said, well, get the fuck out of there. I said, yo, whoa. I said, hey, calm down. I said, you know, I didn't know that it was your spot. I mean, how was it your spot anyway? And he says, "Don't ask me any fucking questions."
Wow, what an asshole!
And then he gets out of the car, and he's like, he's got this like club or something with him, and I'm like, "Holy shit, this guy's!" I said, "Whoa, it's not worth it, dude. Take the fucking spot." He says, "Yeah, I don't like your attitude," and he starts swinging, and then he kicked me in the balls, and I was like, "I can't believe this guy." And, you know, and then we were going at it for a while, and
but he pushed your head into your window.
Yeah, that was when I said, "All right, now I'm going to call the police." You know, yeah, he smashed my head into the windshield, like over a parking spot. I'm like, I don't want to fight over a spot. You can have the goddamn spot. I didn't care, but he just didn't even want to hear. He just thought I had some nerve parking in his spot that's not even his spot.
Jesus.
Like, what do you think? He thinks that he owns, like, every spot in Hollywood. Like, this is my spot. Nobody, you know, some of these guys, I mean, jeez, they get so successful that they think Jesus that, it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they think that, like everything is owed to them and everything is theirs. They own everything.
So you called the police, or you just, kicked in the nuts and your face into the windshield, you just left?
Yeah. And then there were some witnesses there, and Woody Harrelson saying, "No, this guy got really vulgar with me." And I'm like, "Oh, shit, the vulgar. He's the one who went off." And then I said, "That help." I said, "This guy is a nut."
And he tried to mace you, correct?
Yeah. That was. I don't even know why this guy. He's carrying mace in the club, and he's cursing at everybody. I mean, it's obviously he's not hooked up right. You know.
You got kicked in the nuts. He smashed your face in the windshield. Then, as you're saying, "I'm going to move my car," he tries to mace you.
Yeah, you know, he had this little thing. It could have been one of those, like, you know, like an inhaler things. You know, I don't even know what he was, like, spraying it at me. I didn't go blind with it, but I mean, like, it just was just horrible. I don't know what the hell was coming out. It could have been silly string falling up.
So fuck Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, and the cops came, and they were kind of like, "We kind of believe Woody Harrelson." You know, so kind of like giving me that attitude. I'm like, "You got to be kidding." I told him exactly what happened in Woody Harrelson day. He said, "That's not the way it happened." You know, and it was back and forth. And then, you know, so we settled. After, you know, like after we left, there was, you know, I had to contact my lawyer.
Woody got the spot, though?
Yeah, he got the spot. I got him. I told, you know, I had to pay for my windshield, and there was, you know, we made nice, you know, we made good by it, but he's a nut.
He's a fucking nut. Wow. So, I mean, can you sum up Hollywood for us? I mean, for the people, just, they got an inside that, like, it's VHS, you know, VH1, like, what behind Hollywood, what do you sum up Hollywood as?
It's a freak show.
It's a freak show. I mean, people are asking, can I bang you in the ass? Travolta pissed at you.
No rules.
You got to be popular to get somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, there's no rules. You know, in order to get somewhere, somebody's got to go to bat for you, or you got to do something extreme. There's a horrible attitude that comes with some of these people. And then there's some people that are really nice, but some of these people, you just got, you know, it's like everything. I mean, there's good people, there's bad people. You know, and you got to navigate through all this crap. And hopefully you find some good there, but I mean, I've seen some crazy shit, you know, and you know, I survived, you know, and I keep going, but I mean, yeah, there's these people that just think, like, you know, because they have money,
and they can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want, they want, with whoever they want. They, you know, and in many cases, they're right.
It's true.
You know, so that's, you know, that's not cool, you know. And then there's some people that you know, have tons of money, who are, you know, who are just decent, nice people, you know. And you know, I just don't run into them too often.
Jeez, you know? I love your stories.
It's pretty hardcore, and you know, I'm glad none of my kids went into show business, because I just, you know, I'm just, it would be horrible, because it's so abusive, and it's just, it's a free for all. There's no guarantees. I mean, you're better off going to college or medical school or whatever, because when you get out of medical school, you have a job. You're a doctor. You know, you can go to acting school and get out, and you're still not acting. You know, that's the way it works. It's a pie in the sky. It's like winning a lottery ticket. You know, it's yes, some skills involved, but an awful lot of luck is there too.
All right, and how about this? On a lighter tip, just so we'll end the episode on the lighter tip. And if everybody that you've met in Hollywood, Who is the nicest, kindest soul you've ever met? Just so it's not all bad. I don't want to piss all over Hollywood.
No.
Who was the fucking angel in the group that you're like, you know what? I had a fucking blast with that person.
I would say Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
And how so?
He's just a nice, nice guy. He doesn't, you know, get bothered by anything. He's just down to earth. He's not, you know, you don't see him on TMZ all the time. And if he's working with you, he's like your buddy, you know, and he doesn't think he's above everybody else. Meanwhile, he is, you know, above most people. And zero attitude.
Wow.
Incredibly talented. And he's generous. He's a generous guy.
Would you say he's the best actor in Hollywood right now?
Not the best, but he's certainly up there.
Would you put, like, if I would just do a matchup, Denzel versus Tom Hanks, who wins?
You know what? They're both great. And when they were in Philadelphia together.
Oh, wow, they were in Philadelphia, but I'm putting them up against each other. For the Brett Eidman Award for Best Actor, Denzel Washington versus Tom Hanks, who gets the Golden Eidman?
I'm gonna, you know what? I never met Denzel Washington, so
We don't need meeting. We're talking about movies.
Movies. I think that I've enjoyed. Oh God, I've enjoyed both of those guys, but I think I've seen more stuff that I don't know. I think Tom Hanks by an inch.
By an inch, Tom Hanks, best actor of all time.
By a nose, yeah. What I'm saying is, I don't know if he's the best actor of all time, but I think he's one of the greatest, and he's not only talented, but he's also
Well, now I want to know who the best is of all time.
The best of all time.
Who's the best? If you can cast a star of your very own Brett Eidman film, I want the best of all time. Like a Marlon Brando?
Nah, I don't think he's the...
A Clint Eastwood?
Overrated.
Who are we looking at?
There's
got to be the best. There's got to be, like, if that person's in a film, I want to see it because it's going to be fucking gold.
Yeah, I mean, one of them I would put is De Niro.
De Niro wins.
De Niro's way up there. I mean, and so is Robin Williams.
Wow, very nice. Even though he's in some poopers, but the dude's got range, that's for sure.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we didn't mention any actresses, but Meryl Streep, but I also think who's right up there with her.
Hilary Swank.
What's that?
Hilary Swank.
No.
Damn it.
She's really good. Glenn Close.
Glenn Close is good.
She won a Golden Globe the other night for The Wife, and she was great in that movie. I mean, really, really good.
She's
incredible. She's amazing in everything she does.
She's better than Meryl Streep. Those are like the battle. Those are like the two big bitches.
They're both incredible. I think they're both, it's neck and neck with those two.
Wow.
I mean, if you were making a movie and you had either one of them, you just take whoever's available.
Who's the hotter one? That's tough because they're both kind of blah, but they both kind of have a little zing.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing a beauty pageant. Come on, give a winner.
Well, that's, you know what it is. They've gotten older, so they kind of
in their prime.
In their prime. I guess I would go with Glenn Close.
Wow, I thought Meryl. All right, fair enough.
I mean, they're both beautiful women. I mean, they're great, and I like both of them. When Glenn Close, I mean, like in Fatal Attraction, she was like, whoa.
But isn't that it, though? What else does she have? I don't think she's got anything else on her.
What do you mean?
Glenn Close? What else has she done besides that that makes her that amazing?
Sharon, a lot of movies.
I mean, Meryl Streep's got a ton.
I know, and she's got a lot of, you know, Oscars and all that. I mean, yeah, I think Meryl Streep's been in some huge movies, but
Glenn got nothing on her.
I just can't rattle off Glenn Close movies, but the things that I've seen her in at least six or seven movies, and I thought every single time she's just, you know, home run.
She blew your pants off.
Absolutely.
All right, absolutely. So winner is Glenn Close as the greatest actress of our time.
Actress, yeah. Wow. she's one of them, yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We're taking it to heart. We all believe you. We all love you.
Oh, you know who else is great? Well, let me add one more person.
Ooh, add it.
The list of actors. Sean Penn.
Sean Penn.
Yeah.
He doesn't get a lot of love.
Nope.
No, he doesn't, but you respect him.
Yeah, I do.
Do you put him up there with De Niro, you said? Sean Penn and who? Was there a top three?
Well, I think...
Oh, and Tom Hanks, I guess?
De Niro, Sean Penn, Al Pacino's great.
Yeah, he does the same shit.
But I still think he does it well.
What about John Travolta? He's the number one greatest actor of our time, though.
I don't know about that. I think that he's extremely versatile and he's very likable. And I think, I think his likability is
through the roof,
off the chart. Yeah, that buys him a lot. I think he's just so freaking likable. I mean, I think that is his biggest asset.
I want to battle you right now. I mean, Hilary Swank.
Yes, she's,
technically she's is too. The number one greatest actress of our time, but...
Who is?
Hilary Swank.
Mm-hmm.
She's the best, technically.
Okay, if you think so.
No, it's the people.
It's the people? Okay. What has she done lately? Anything?
Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, that's the last thing. I mean, how many years ago
was that? And Lucky Logan with David Craig. She's untouchable.
Yeah.
She doesn't fuck around. None of her movies she fucks around in.
I think she's great, too.
But she doesn't fuck around.
No, she's serious. Yeah, she's serious about what she does.
Do you have any movies where she fucks around and doesn't do a good job?
No.
Well, there you go. Nope. Meryl Streep fucks around, though. Glenn Close, she fucks around.
I think all these guys make some stingers. You know, like they make some stinkers. And sometimes I think they'll grab a project for the money, and sometimes I think they just didn't read the script. Like, they didn't pick up on it that this is going to be a terrible movie. Like, you know, I think that it's really hard to read a script and to know, is this going to make a great movie or not? I mean, sometimes they say, oh, I knew when I was reading this script that this movie is going to be great. And you know what? A lot of those movies bomb, you know, and you just don't know. I mean, I've read scripts, and I really didn't have a clue whether... I thought it was going to be a good movie or a bad movie, and there was one I read, and I thought, oh, this is okay. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, wow, this is actually a really good movie. You know, I didn't know. I didn't, from reading the script, I got a different image in my head.
An overrated actor, because I'm in movie mode right now, and you've tickled me fancy. Overrated, someone who was like, he is one of the greatest, and you're like, I think he sucks. There's gotta be someone you don't like that you think, like, why do people like this guy? This guy sucks.
This is like un-American.
It's for you, but, man.
All right, I didn't care for Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason, that's old school.
Oh, that's really old school.
You don't find this man funny.
Not really. I thought, you know, even though that was the basis of the character for Fred Flintstone, but I just never really. And Marlon Brando, I thought was overrated.
Oh yeah, he gets a lot of props for. Yeah, I'd probably vote him up there.
Yeah, I think he's overrated. But you know, meanwhile, the greats always say, "Oh, Marlon Brando was great. Marlon Brando was great." You know, so you know, maybe I'm just missing the boat there. You know what I mean, but I just never saw it. I'm trying to think who else shows up in a lot of movies that's overrated as an actor. Mel Gibson, maybe?
All right. I can see Mel being a little overrated there.
Yeah, I think he's gotten a lot more than he deserves. And I think that he's a great director. I mean, he's a talented guy, you know, without a doubt, but I just don't really understand his deal. You know, he's just okay.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's a nut, but he's okay.
He's a nut. What about Arnold Schwartz? Do you respect the man?
Yeah, I do. I respect him.
Is he the best action hero of our time?
Best action hero of all time. He's up there. I mean, Bruce Willis is also great at that. Yeah, probably. I mean, I get Stallone.
Stallone. I mean, like Seagal and Van Damme. You're like, those are bags of bullshit.
No. Neither.
They're bags of bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I actually think that I think Stallone's a pretty good actor. I mean, people would argue with that point, but I think he's pretty good. And